Father, it's a joy to surrender to you, because you're a loving Father. You care for us. You have our best interests at heart. Thank you that as we yield to you and surrender to you, we get to look more and more like you. We are transformed into your image. Father, in this moment, in this point in the service, we choose to again surrender to you. I wish that you would lead, that you would direct. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to have a seat. Thank you to our team. Maybe just look at your neighbor and say, well then, you survived the sanctification series. I was speaking to someone a while ago, a week or two ago, and I just shared what we were busy with, this person not in the church, and I said, I'm really enjoying it. I don't know how the people are experiencing it, because it can at times be a heavy subject. A difficult subject, but it is an incredibly crucial part of our Christian journey. And if we miss out on that, there's so much that we will miss. So, for the last time, hopefully it is ingrained in your mind. Now may the God of peace himself. I love that himself. It's God who's doing this work. Sanctify you completely. It's my prayer for you, that God will completely sanctify you. And we know it's a work that will continue, but my prayer is that you will embrace that with joy. And you'll say, God, come and work in me. Sanctify me completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked at the different aspects of our being. Today we want to quickly finish, and then we want to transition that, not so much that we just want to look at the different aspects of our being. This morning we want to look at the different spheres of life, if I can put it that way. We want to try and transition into that. The next verse, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24, is equally beautiful. It says, God will make this happen. It's a work of God. We need to work with, and that's a mystery that we don't fully understand always. But if we work with God and we endeavor to surrender to him and lay our lives down, he will endeavor from his side to do this in our lives. He will make it happen. For he who calls me, is faithful. God is faithful. He wants to sanctify you completely. And this morning, we want to briefly look at kept whole, and then we want to sort of branch it out a little bit. You see, it is he that will keep me whole. It's not just something that he will do today or tomorrow, but he will keep on doing this. He will keep me completely whole in every part of my being, but also in every sphere of life where I enter into. So, a friend of mine sent me this a while ago, so as we close this, maybe just some further clarity on where this fits in. What is justification? Justification is that we are saved from the penalty of sin. So when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for our sin. And now we are justified, meaning that that penalty is no longer ours. Christ took that penalty. He paid the price for us. If we skip to glorification, that's the end of our journey on earth, but the continuation of the journey with God is we will be saved from the presence of sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin at justification. Glorification, which will come when God has kept us right until the end, is when there will no longer be any sin. And we'll be saved from the presence of sin. When we get to heaven, there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more sickness, no more lack. We'll be saved from the presence of sin. And in between is the journey that we are wrestling with every day. And that sanctification, we are being saved from the power of sin. And every day that we choose to surrender, and every day we choose to work with God in this journey of sanctification, we are saved from the power of sin. And the power of sin no longer has a hold on me. And we unpacked all the different areas in my own being. But we also have a wrestle when it comes to sin in our everyday life. The spheres that we function in and where we move. So, let's just briefly focus on the God's promise that He will keep us until that stage of glorification comes. Psalm 138 in verse 8. God will work out His plan for my life. We can actually just go home right now. Because you need to just hear that and believe that. That God not only has the ability, but He has the eagerness, the interest to work out everything that concerns your life. He'll work out the plan for your life. He's got it sorted. He's set you free from the penalty of sin. He's setting you up to live a life forever with Him without the presence of sin. And in the meantime, He's allowing you to journey and grow to be set free from the power of sin in your life. Hebrews chapter 12 so beautifully sums up this journey of sanctification. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. It's another picture of sanctification. Getting rid of everything that slows me down. Sometimes it's the hurt from the past. Sometimes it's not fully understanding that God has renewed my spirit and I am His son and I'm His daughter. Sometimes it's the anxiousness that creeps into my body and the stress and the worry. And all of these things, God says, get rid of it. Throw off these things, these weights that slow you down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Why? Because He is able to perfect everything concerning your life. And then verse 2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. He's the one who starts it and He's the one who finishes it. He's the one who's working in between. And every part of your day, every single day, He's working in you, in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, and He's busy transforming you to look like Jesus, but He's also allowing you to step into certain areas of life to represent Him and to show Him to the world. Last thought on this, before we do a bit of a transition, there's a bit of a warning from God concerning this. And it's a well-known verse. You can read the whole book of Galatians, but this one verse sort of summarizes the book of Galatians. He says, how foolish can you be? Having started your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? What is this process of becoming perfect? Sanctification. Be holy as I am holy. It's the call of God to us. But Paul clearly says, how can you be so foolish that having begun in the Spirit, you are now trying to complete this in your own human effort? And sanctification, to a very large extent, is surrendering to Him. And allowing Him to work in my life. Not just initially when we get saved. Not just when there's a crisis. But every single day. When we allow Him to work in us. Spirit, soul, and body. And transform us into His image. I want to look at something very practical that encompasses this God keeping us safe. And this will now be when we step out into the different spheres of life, whether it's marriage, whether it's your studies, your work, politics, commerce, all the things that we engage in everyday life. You see, we all live under banners. We don't necessarily always notice it or remember it, but we all live under banners. So, I mean, it's good just to start with this picture. We're living under a banner of a victory, and we celebrate that. For our students here, you live under a banner. It's a badge that you wear on your school blazer. You live under that banner, and that banner represents something. You probably see it the most on the sports field when the people wave their flags. By identifying, they say, I support this team. I am a supporter of this team. Sometimes that can become quite ferocious in the support for these teams. They live under that banner. If you were to grab one of those guys on a Wednesday and you sit them down long enough, they will probably begin to talk about Saturday or Sunday's game. They will talk back and reflect. They'll tell you what's happening. They are living under that banner. To an extent, that's who they've become. Politically, we live under banners. It's a very interesting photo, real life photo, obviously, of what it looks like in election seasons. There's banners up everywhere. Everyone is vying for your attention, for your support. We live under banners when we protest. This is probably the least offensive one I could find, because I didn't want to associate with any cause necessarily. I presume this was in the period of prohibition for the younger guys. There was a period in America where all alcohol was banned, and I'm presuming these guys are just saying they want their beer back. But they are living under a banner. Corporations of this world are trying to get you to live under a banner. And they do it with branding and with marketing and with logos. And if you ever get the chance again, maybe for some of you it will be tomorrow morning, just open your eyes when you begin to enter Johannesburg. As you begin to see, you're being bombarded with banners, with logos, people trying to win your support, to get you into their camp. So if you buy an iPhone, I've never quite figured out why they do this. If you buy an iPhone and you open the box, inside you'll find stickers. I've never quite figured out what they want you to do with a sticker. I think it's part of their philosophy and their attempt to get you under their banner. So certain people will put that sticker on their car. A car cannot be an Apple product. It cannot be an iPhone. You don't get an iCar. But you begin to associate and you begin to say, but I live under this banner. If we were to put up a billboard across your home, what would it say across that? What would be the banner under which you live? You see, because the banners under which we live have an impact. They direct our steps. You see, God is able to perfect everything concerning me as long as I live under His banner. But if I step out from underneath that banner and I join some other banner, that banner will then direct my life. The banners under which we live have an enormous impact. So as you came in, you were given a key holder. One of the congregational members printed this for us on his 3D printer. Took him a couple of weeks. And this is not just a toy. This is to remind you that you live under a banner. And that banner should be the Lord. Jehovah Nissi literally means the Lord is my banner. He is the banner that I've pulled over my life. And as I'm journeying through life, I'm seeing the effect and the result of that. It comes from Exodus 17. I'm just going to tell the story. You're welcome to go read it. It actually starts in Exodus chapter 13, and we will highlight certain parts of that. The Amalekites attack Israel, and Moses gives an instruction. He says to Joshua, you go and lead the troops in the valley. I will stand on the hill, on the mountain, overlooking the battlefield. And as Moses steps out and the battle starts, and Moses lifts his hands, he can literally see how the Israelite army is winning the battle. And as his arms get tired and he drops his hands, the Amalekites are winning. And it becomes a symbolic picture of the spheres of life where we have to battle certain things. If I am able to lift the banner, can I use your scarf for a moment, Camille? Maybe it becomes a little bit clearer if I do it this way. There's obviously nothing written on it. But just picture this for a moment, that this is God, my banner. And if I lift this up, and He is the banner over my life, there's victory. And as soon as the banner drops, the enemy comes and he begins to win this battle. Now this happens if you're 13 or if you're 85. It happens if you're a male or a female. It happens to all of us in every sphere of life. See, this journey starts, and actually it starts before Exodus 13. As we were singing a song this morning, I was reminded of the fact how God said, as they were preparing to exit Egypt, what did God say to them? Take some of the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts. They were painting a banner. And we were singing that song this morning. His blood speaks a better word. His blood is a banner over our lives. And as long as I live under that banner, I get to live in the protection of that. You see, if the Israelites thought, and some of them did, we're not going to do that. We're not going to paint that banner on our doorpost. Their firstborn son died that night. But those who said, I will engage with God, I will paint this banner, they got to live. As they exit Egypt, God does an incredible thing. He sends a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What is that? That's God's banner over them. He provides shade in the day and He provides heat and light in the night. He directs their steps. As the cloud moves, they get to move with it. See, God is able to perfect all of my life. Philippians 1 verse 6 says that the work that He has started in me, He will complete. But I need to choose to stay under His banner. So as they get to Exodus 14, they begin to complain. And they say to Moses, you're going to kill us here in the desert? This is where the Egyptian army is pursuing them before the Red Sea. They're not noticing the cloud. They're not noticing the pillar of fire. They're not recognizing that they are living under the banner of the Lord. And they begin to complain. God has an interesting answer. He literally says, why are you crying out to me? What do you want me to do? He says to Moses, tell the people to move. He tells Moses, pick up your staff. Raise this banner. Because as you raise this banner, you'll see my victory. The Red Sea opens. They cross through. The pillar of cloud is there. The pillar of fire is there. The cloud in the daytime. they get to the next place, guess what? They complain. They don't recognize that God is their banner, that He is there with them. And they say there's no water, and I think in this case, the water is bitter. God says to Moses, throw a stick into the water, and the water becomes sweet. And as they journey, they don't recognize the banner of the Lord over them. And they say to God, God, we're hungry, we don't have any food. And God says, I will send manna in the morning, and I'll send quail, birds, in the evening. And for the next 40 years, they miraculously have food every single day. And in the midst of that, they don't recognize the Lord as His the banner over them. Again, they cry for water. Moses strikes the rock, and water gushes out. And now we get to Exodus 17. And Moses literally demonstrates to them, as long as we keep this banner up, as long as we live under this banner, there will be victory. As soon as we drop this banner, the enemy will begin to push us back and will begin to defeat us. It's an interesting scene that plays out, because as Moses is standing there and the battle is continuing, his arms are getting tired. It should take some effort to keep this banner up. It takes some effort and energy and intentionality to continue to live under God's banner. If I don't do it, I'll just lose the battle. So that's not an option. God comes and He adds to this picture. He sends Aaron and Hur, and they come and they sit underneath Moses, and they put his arms on a rock, and they come and stand there and they keep his arms up. How does God keep me? By me being around people who can keep my arms up, to support me, to encourage me. And we often associate that particular verse just with leadership. I think it applies to every single person, because all of us are called to lift up a banner in our lives. My life must be lived under the banner of God. Your life must be lived under the banner of God. And when it gets difficult and tiring, what's the first thing we're going to do is we're going to drop the banner. We know what the results will be, but we just don't have the strength to fight anymore. And it's in those seasons that we need people around us to lift up our arms, to keep them up, so that we can keep living under the banner of God and see His protection and His provision and His direction. See, when King Solomon dedicated the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, it said he lifted his hands towards heaven and he prayed. It's a posture of prayer. It's a posture of surrender. It's a posture of celebrating victory. It's a posture of yielding, a posture of honoring God, a posture of declaring our dependence upon God. It's a posture that we need to live in. A posture of living under the banner of God. 2 Chronicles 20, they're again going into battle. And it says, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, for His faithfulness endures forever. I take you back to that verse that says he will plan out and perfect everything concerning your life. Why? Because he is faithful. That's what that verse says. And as we face the battles of life, the best posture to take is this. It's to lift up the banner of the Lord over that circumstance, over that situation, over your life. And to step out into that. And as the armies begin, or sorry, the singers begin to sing, God creates confusion with the enemy. And it says the enemy begins to attack each other. Two things. It says that not one of the enemies survived that day. Secondly, not one of the Israelites had to lift a weapon. They were living under the banner of God. They were fighting under the banner of God. Psalm 20 in verse 5 says, may we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer all your prayers. Verse 7 says, some nations boast in their chariots and their horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. See, Jehovah Nissi is one of the names of God. I think it's more than one of the names. It means all of his names, all of his character, all of who he is. So part of that banner is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Part of that banner is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. And so we can continue and continue and continue. That banner is his name. It is who he is. It's the banner under which we are supposed to live. We are supposed to live under him. Isaiah prophesies, in that day, the heir of David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. That's Jesus. Jesus is a banner of salvation. And if we live under that banner, if we surrender to him and we are justified and we are free from the penalty of sin, and we surrender to him daily and we choose this process of sanctification where we are set free from the power of sin, we will enter glorification, where there will be no presence of sin anymore. Jesus is our banner. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. That's the place where we need to live, under that banner. Song of Solomon's 2 and verse 4. Let him lead me to the banquet hall and let his banner over me be love. His banner over you is love. His banner over you is love. You've got to lift it up. You've got to choose to live in that space. And as you live in that space, you live in his love, you live in his faithfulness. You live in his power. You live in his victory. First Samuel 17:45 says, David standing up against the giant Goliath. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. What was David doing? David was lifting up a banner. He was doing what the Israelites could not do in Exodus 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. They didn't recognize the banner of the Lord over their lives. I want to remind you that you get to live under that banner because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You get to live in that victory. You have a responsibility. You have to lift that banner. We want to do a couple of prayers of declaration. And I need you to engage now. This is an opportunity to lift a banner. I want to encourage you to go home and to continue to lift banners, but this is a moment with friends, with our Christian brothers and sisters around us, to lift some banners. The first banner I want to lift is for those who are saying, I know this, I've seen it, I know that when I lift the banner, the victory comes. But at the moment, I'm just too tired. It's just gotten to be a little bit too much and taxing. And there are moments during the day and during the week when I drop the banner. And I'm not able to live in that space anymore, or live from that space anymore. And for some of you, it might be individuals that need to stand up. For some of you, it might be couples. Let's say together as a couple, we are facing a giant. And at the moment, it feels like we are losing. We don't have the strength to keep up our arms anymore. We want to be a Moses and a Hur that comes around you this morning and lifts up your hands, strengthens you, whispers into your ear, you can do this. God is able to complete everything concerning your life because He is faithful. He is able to keep you, spirit, soul, and body, blameless until the day of Christ's return. He is able to work this in your life. If you this morning say, that's me. I'm in a place, we're not going to ask you for details. All you're saying by standing up is, there are moments where I let this banner drop because my arms are tired. Doesn't mean you don't have faith. Doesn't mean you don't believe in Jesus. It simply means that you need someone to come and support you. If that's you, don't you want to quickly stand up? We'd love to pray with you. Now I need you to do something. Maybe it feels strange and awkward. I need you to lift a banner. And now I need you, if you are sitting, to go find someone who is standing. And just to go hold up their hands. And I don't even know if we have enough people. So you're probably going to need everyone who's sitting to stand up and to find someone. You might need to have two people that you lift their arms. If there's not someone with you, we are with you in spirit. We simply just don't have enough hands this morning. Father, we lift up a banner. We lift up the banner of your name. The name that is above every other name. Your word declares that at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. We lift up your name as a banner. Father, we pray for our brothers and our sisters who are tired. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen them and encourage them. That spiritually you would send a Moses and a Hur. Physically you would send a Moses and a Hur. Someone to lift up their hands. God, as we lift this banner, we are reminded of the promise in Exodus 17, that as long as this banner is lifted, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, there will be victory. Father, we speak to those circumstances that have tired us out, has caused us to be weary. We declare your victory over that because of your name, because of the blood of Jesus. Father, we draw a line this morning in the sand and say, enemy, your days are counted. It's done. It's done. It's done. The Lord is my banner. With him I will celebrate the victory. With him I will rejoice in the freedom that he brings, in the release that he brings, in the answers that he brings. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to have a seat. I want everyone under the age of 25 to quickly join me in front. Everyone under the age of 25, that's not you, Marge. But you're welcome to come as well. Come quickly. You are full of energy. You are young. If you're under the age of 25, come join me in front quickly. Yes, you can look at the people. They want to see your beautiful faces. You can huddle up. You don't have to stretch out like a line. Nolte, kom hierdie kant. Bring 'n groep mense saam met jou. Maak 'n tweede ry. Come, you guys as well. Come join us here in front. People want to see you. Nee, Nolte, ek het gesê bring mense saam met jou, man. Wat se tipe leier is jy? Come, guys, there at the end. Come join us here in front. We want to see you. Okay, look at me for a moment. You are in a beautiful space of your life. You are filled with joy. You are filled with energy. You are filled with hopes and with dreams. And yes, the enemy wants to disrupt that. But there's still a little bit of energy that will overcome that. I want to say to you this morning that you cannot do this in your own strength. Galatians 3, I think it's 1. Having started in the Spirit, why are you so foolish to want to try and finish this in the flesh? It is a work of the Spirit. Use the energy that you have to lift a banner. Use that energy and that desire and that passion from being a young person to lift a banner. And as you do that, I can give you a letter signed, stamped, police chap, everything right now. That if you continue to do that, when you get to be Marge's age, you will declare and look back and you will see the victories of God in your life. Okay. Now look at the congregation. Now I want to ask you young people to lift a banner. Raise your hands, lift a banner. And I want to ask you as a congregation to stretch out your hands to pray for them. Father, we lift the name of Jesus over these young people. Father, I pray that you would ingrain this morning's message in their hearts. When they look at that key holder, they will be reminded of the fact that Jesus is the banner over their lives. Not their own abilities, not how hard they work, but because you are the one who opens doors and closes doors. God, David declares that with my God, I can jump over a wall, I can storm a whole group of enemy attacking me. Jonathan took one sword and he walked up to the enemy's camp and he says, just maybe the Lord will be on our side. And with one sword, he attacked that enemy camp and he defeated them. Father, I pray that you would release a spirit, I want to almost say a ruthless spirit, a spirit that would ruthlessly cling to you and will say, God is my banner. God is my source. God is my hope. God is my deliverance. God is the one who will make a way where there is no way. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and speak gently in their hearts. Direct their steps. Lead them. Give them the patience and the strength to continue to hold up a banner. I pray, Father, I pray earnestly that you give them friends around them. Friends who will keep their arms up. I want to speak a word of release over those of you who are caught up in the wrong relationships. I'm not telling you to hate the people. I'm not telling you to be nasty to them. But I am declaring over you, it's time to let those friendships go. Get friends around you that will hold your arms up, that will lift you, and that will carry you. Father, your word declares that you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us, to give us a hope, and to give us a future. That is in your name. It's who you are. So we bless these young people in your precious name. In Jesus' name, amen. You're welcome to have a seat. If you are here this morning and you are a single parent, mother or father, you want to quickly stand up. All the single parents that are here. If you're sitting, just stretch out your arms to them. Father, we pray for this group. They are fighting an incredibly difficult battle. God, you declare that you are the husband of the widows. Father, we ask that you would yourself step into that role. As they lift up a banner, would you be mother and father in that house? Would you enable them? Would you strengthen them? Father, we declare over them that they would see the victory of the Lord in the lives of their children. They might lose some fights along the way, but they will not lose the battle. We declare that this morning in the name of Jesus. We pray for every young person represented, even older people, adults. We declare that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray for their salvation. We pray, God, that you would reveal yourself to them. Reveal yourself in dreams and in circumstances. Reveal yourself, Lord Jesus. And we pray for these mothers and fathers that you would strengthen them in their innermost being. May they be filled with your love. When they interact with their children, may love overflow. May their children see and be drawn to the sweetness of God's love. Strengthen their knees. God, sometimes in single parents, there's a difficulty in relating to the natural father or mother. God, we just pray your peace over those circumstances right now. May you bring peace, Lord. May you bring calm waters. I pray, Father, that you fill their mouths with soft and gentle words. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are a business owner, I want to ask you to quickly stand up. If you own a business or you're the manager of a business, something like that, you are responsible for that business income. I'm going to ask you to stand. Yes, you as well. You have your own practice. You need to stand. I encourage you to lift a banner over your business. Just speaking to someone in the week, a pastor from Vereniging. And he was just telling a story. Maybe this is your story. Maybe you're just scared to tell it. He was just telling a story of a businessman who came to him and he said, I've been running this business for 20 years. Everything has been going fine for 20 years. And the last few months, it just feels like I can't get a grip on it. I'm beginning to fear that I will lose this business. Maybe that's you. I want to encourage you to lift a banner over your business. You're fighting for yourself, you're fighting for your own family, but you're also fighting for other families. Those that you employ. And we can read the stats, we understand the stats, but we can also declare that we can lift a banner this morning. Let's lift a banner. Lord, we lift a banner over every business represented here this morning. God, maybe that is the modern day picture of Moses' battle with the Amalekites. And literally, there are days when we feel faith and we feel strengthened and we declare the word of God and we see the victory, and the very next day feels like all the wheels are falling off. God, but we want to lift a banner continually over each one of these businesses, and we want to declare your favor, your provision, your guidance. I'll give them favor, Lord. I declare your favor, Lord. Lord, if we look at the business environment, everyone will tell you it's not favorable. There are so many things that is coming against business owners. God, but we declare your favor. God, your word says that you will lead us through the desert. You would lead us through a raging river. You will lead us through the fire. And Father, as these attacks come against businesses, we ask that they would be strengthened and rooted on the rock, Jesus Christ. From that place, they would lift a banner, declaring the victory of God. I pray, Lord, for wisdom, the gift of wisdom to come upon these men and women. May they see before the rest of the world sees. May you direct their steps. May you keep them safe. May you protect them from the ups and the downs. May you lead them in every decision that they make. God, I specifically speak to the teams around these business owners, their managers and their leaders, their employees. I pray, Father, firstly for unity in those teams. I pray, Father, that you knit together the hearts of the leaders with those who need to follow them. I pray, Father, that you would raise up Moseses and hers that will come alongside these business leaders and lift up their arms and their hands. And Father, we declare your victory. We declare your victory. We declare your answers. We declare your hope. We declare your future. If you are seated, don't you want to just stand us, join everyone, please? God, there are so many names in the Bible to describe you. Because literally you are the answer for everything. God, as many people as we are in this room, as many circumstances there are, as many needs, as many specific things there are, God, we lift up those specific things before you right now. I want to encourage you to go and find the name of God that relates to your specific circumstance, and to lift up the name of the Lord as a banner over your circumstance. Father, as a church, our desire is that you would be the banner over our church. As families, husbands and wives and children, we want to lift up a banner. Lord, the places where we interact, where we work, the deals, the contracts that we are contending for, the promotions that we are applying for, the places of study where we are working, trying to position ourselves. Father, we lift up a banner over all of our lives. Father, thank you that we know that under that banner we are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those who run unto it will be safe. God, we lift up and we run to that banner, that name. God, I pray that as we go from here, you would remind us through your Holy Spirit to lift up a banner. Lord, we pray for each one of these key rings, something tangible, something we can see, something we can touch. God, we pray that you would use it to remind us daily to lift up a banner. Pray that you give us the insight to come alongside those who are struggling to lift up their arms. Pray that you give us the grace to ask for help when we need our hands to be lifted. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.